Greetings in Christ Jesus, and welcome back once again to Twin Steeples Podcast. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church. I am your host, Pastor Joe Naumann. Twin Steeples is a weekly podcast that discusses the ongoing activities of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota. Today, I would like to begin with a devotion from the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. In these verses, the Apostle John was given a vision of what it would be like when Jesus comes again in glory. You see, the disciples watched Jesus ascend into heaven after his 40 days after the resurrection were completed here on earth, and the angels on that day assured the disciples and assure us that Jesus will come again as we saw him go. And in John's vision of the revelation of what Judgment Day will be like, we see a picture of how Jesus will return. And when he returns again, he will come in glory, as the Apostle Paul says, with the shout of an angel, with the trumpet of God. And so we read from verses 11 through 13. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So, interesting picture, isn't it, of what Jesus will be like, a powerful, mighty warrior coming on a valiant steed. Not the way that Jesus was oftentimes pictured during his earthly ministry, where he came in humility and gentleness. And yet when he returns again, he will come in glory, and in righteousness he will judge and make war. It was a picture of this Jesus that the young Martin Luther saw, and it terrified him, the idea that Jesus was going to come and judge in righteousness, because Martin Luther did not understand the important truth that you and I understand today, is that Jesus will be judging based on his righteousness. So you and I as Christians who are arrayed in the righteousness of Christ are seen by God as righteous because of the work of Jesus Christ. Now, what's interesting is the Apostle John here keys in on what the name of this individual, of Jesus, is. It says his name is the Word of God. Now, we discussed this a little bit in our service this last weekend during the sermon, when we talked about how the Word of Jesus Christ is the solid rock, the foundation upon which we build our lives. And here we see John keying in on this, the Word of God being the identity of Jesus. And we talked about how we referred to Jesus as the Word incarnate, how Jesus is the authority that comes from the Word of God, and how he has fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies as well. Now, we don't know what order the books of the New Testament were written in. We can have a pretty good idea of when they were all written based on some of the context that we find in the book of Acts and so forth. Now, it is commonly thought that Revelation was the last book of the Bible that was written, but in fact, some recent scholars believe that perhaps Revelation was written before the Gospel of John, and perhaps John saw this vision and then was referring to Jesus as the Word as he wrote his Gospel, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. But the main thing for us to continue to focus on as we consider how Jesus will come again as the Word is how he's going to come in righteousness and how he'll be faithful and true. These important names of our Savior as well highlight for us exactly how Jesus is going to judge. You see, Jesus made the promise, because I live, you will live also. And because Jesus made that promise, and because Jesus has never broken a promise because of his faithfulness, we can hold him to account and say, Jesus, you promised. You promised that you forgave my sins. You promised that you would take me to heaven to be with yourself. And we can hold this mighty warrior who's coming again in glory to account to his own promises. And so we look to him for life, for salvation, for hope, for righteousness. And we know that he is coming to judge you and I not guilty because of his own work and because of the love that he showed for us in dying on the cross and rising again to take away our sins. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the Word of God made flesh. You reveal to us the very thoughts and ideas of our God in heaven. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the fulfillment of the Old Testament word and coming to die to take away our sins, to be the Christ, the Messiah that we so desperately needed. Be with and bless each of us now as your children, and encourage us to continue to keep in mind daily that you are coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Just a few brief announcements before we get into our interview today with Principal Brandon Heinze. Tonight, our online Bible study continues with the book of Hosea. Vicar Drew Nauman is taking this week off back in Eau Claire, but he is going to jump online and lead this study with us. Also wanted to mention that the gym floor has buckled given the flooding in the past week and a half ago now, I guess. So we are currently waiting to see what's going to take place in the gym. So certainly something to keep in your prayers. A very large expense it would be to replace the gym, and we pray that insurance will cover that cost if that is necessary. Also wanted to update you on how services are progressing. The church has been put back together following the painting that took place, and we held services there this past weekend. We'll be holding services in there again this weekend. Again, we are continuing to abide by the Minnesota mask mandate, and we're wearing masks throughout the service. Now, I was able to sit down this morning with Principal Brandon Heinze, and he's going to update us on exactly what we can expect from our school as we strive to go back to in-person classes this coming fall. Here's what that interview sounded like. So I'm joined here today by Principal Brandon Heinze. Principal Heinze, we are starting to work on how the school is going to open here coming up very soon this month. So just a couple questions for you as we dive into this. Last week, Governor Walz came out with his plan for how the schools are supposed to open this fall. Does his plan apply to us, or how exactly are we trying to use the plan that the state came out with?
That's a good question. The state was very clear that the guidelines set forth by the Minnesota Department of Education and the Minnesota Department of Health applied only to public charter schools that were state-run. And not to non-public schools like ourselves. However, we were encouraged to use the guidelines that were put out as our guidelines as well, as much as possible. And for that reason, we are utilizing them to help us with things like social distancing and, your general hygiene of washing hands and things like that in our classrooms this year.
Awesome. So we met with the Board of Ed. Obviously, we've been meeting with them a lot the last couple of weeks trying to figure all this out. And so I'd say the Board of Ed's kind of goal is that we'd like to stay open in person as much as possible. So how are we going to be able to accomplish that through social distancing? What kind of techniques are we using in the classroom as far as spreading out kids and stuff like that in order to maintain the social distancing?
Yeah, so in the elementary, what we're planning to do is try to keep the combined classrooms actually separated into two classes. So we're going to put first grade in one room and second grade in a different room, third grade and fourth grade, fifth grade and sixth grade, which means we're going to utilize our high school classrooms a little bit for that to keep them in closer proximity to their teacher. And the teacher is going to go back and forth between the two classrooms teaching, and we're also going to have a full-time aide then in the other classroom supervising the children, helping out with homework questions or work questions they might have. But what that does is it dislocates our high school students. So what we're hoping to do is to spread them out throughout the rest of the building into pieces of the building that aren't traditionally classrooms. For example, utilizing the narthex during the week, using the church basement a little bit differently than we have in the past, the cafeteria area, the gymnasium, things like that.
Of course, that's where the flood came in and made things complicated for us. We're still working on what's going to happen in the gym there.
Right.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes, but God willing, we'll be able to use that space and use all the space to try to spread everyone out as best we can, because we don't just want the elementary school in nor just the high school. We want everyone to try to be in as best we can.
Right, that's our goal, to get everybody here every day.
Right, absolutely. But that being said, obviously, if cases really do start to escalate and, situations can certainly arise, I really want to highlight personally just how successful I thought our transition to online learning was last spring, and how if we absolutely needed to this fall, we could do that again. Do you want to talk a little bit about how successful that was?
Yeah, the fourth quarter last year seemed to go better than expected as far as what we kind of had to put together in basically a week in order to finish out the school year. Now, I mean, of course, there are hiccups anytime you try something new, there were, and we're hoping that if we do have to go online again, we can work those hiccups out and try to have a better experience for everybody in that regard.
Yeah, I thought it was, we were online a week before the public school was, and for us to be able to accomplish that, and then to be as successful as we were, you know, especially on the upper levels, you know, they were having all the regular, you know, their regular classes, you know, every single day with their teacher online, and so it was impressive, I thought. So kind of what's our plan as far as, you know, if say a teacher got sick or a student got sick, or what's kind of the thought process behind what would happen if and when, you know, because we can probably expect this to arrive at some point on our campus. How are we going to try to handle that, do you think?
So there is a plan being worked out, and we are trying to kind of help use the MDH guidelines and even some guidelines that the public schools have already worked out, so we're not completely reinventing the wheel on that. But it's not complete yet. The main idea is that, you know, if a student tests positive for COVID, we're going to try to follow the CDC guidelines as far as quarantine and things like that go to try to prevent other students or staff members potentially from, you know, getting the virus. If a teacher were to test positive for COVID, we would do the same thing with that teacher, is to have them quarantine at home. If they are asymptomatic or they have light symptoms and feel like they can still teach, we'd provide ways for them to teach remotely to the students, so that way, they're not doing a bunch of sub plans and trying to figure out, you know, how to get a substitute to basically do the same things they were going to do. And the teachers expressed an interest in doing it that way rather than writing a bunch of sub plans, if that was the thing that turned out to happen. So
You know, we spent this year here where we had a bunch of pastors coming in during that year where Pastor Nolting was, after he had left, and I found it was just as much work getting ready for someone else to come in and preach as it was for me actually just to preach myself. And I imagine it's the same thing
with teachers. It's the same with teachers. Yeah. It's much more work to do a sub plan than actually teach the lesson yourself. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, this latest executive order from Governor Walz involves this mask mandate. What's our plan as far as masks in school?
Well, as long as the executive order is in place, our policy is going to be to everybody mask up. Now, there's lots of exceptions to that. There's a huge list of conditions and things like that that people might have. So if families are able to communicate those to the school in some way so that we know, that would be super helpful.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah, we're going to mask up. And when I say mask up, I don't mean just face mask. There are provisions to use face shields as well. So our plan right now is for K through 4 to all be provided with face shields while they're in their classrooms, so that way they're not wearing a face mask, you know, 6 hours a day or something like that. Should make it easier for them to get drinks and things like that out of water bottles and that kind of thing, and even see each other's faces. You know, it's really hard to tell when someone's smiling or, you know, messing around with you with a face mask on. So
yeah, that sounds like a great idea to really help the socialization that these kids need that they missed out on fourth quarter, you know.
Right.
And also, you know, I was thinking too, as far as, you know, trying to teach these kids, especially at those levels, they're trying to learn phonics and make the sounds of letters and things like that, for them to be able to see their teacher's face and for the teacher to be able to see their face. I think that's going to be
helpful. Super important for a child who's learning how to, you know, pronounce words and letters and things like that, to be able to see, you know, where your lips are, where your tongue is, things like that, as you're trying to teach them how to pronounce things. So
yeah, definitely.
It'd be good for them to have face masks, not only for the students, but also for the teachers that are teaching those particular critical subjects.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously all you parents out there are listening too, you know, when you come into the school and are visiting, you know, the expectation is that you'd wear masks at that time too. And, you know, ultimately when we wear masks, you know, the common thought out there is when you wear a mask, you're not wearing it for yourself. You're wearing it to protect the other people from you. And so, you know, as I go out in my personal ministry and as I do, visit shut-ins and things like that, I wear a mask to go visit when I visit them, because, you know, I've been around plenty of people, and, you know, I don't know whether or not I'm a carrier of the virus, and I obviously don't want to be the one to get some of these people sick, especially those who've been, you know, quarantining and shut in place for months now at this point. So, you know, it's really a love for your neighbor more than anything else that motivates us to wear these masks. And, you know, obviously they're not the most comfortable things. They're not something that we love, and hopefully the time is coming soon where we can do away with them. But, you know, it's love for your neighbor that should motivate whether or not we're wearing these masks. And that kind of brings us to the last thing I want to talk to you about today, Brandon, is just kind of the how are the teachers doing? You know, their well-being is something that we as a congregation here at Emmanuel are very invested in, and we want to make sure that they're doing okay, and is there anything more we can do to try to support them? And obviously the many, many hours they're putting in, not only the additional hours of spring, but now as they're gearing up for this in-person teaching this coming up this fall.
Yeah, they've got some concerns about the things that we're going to try to do as far as whether it might burn them out or something like that, but we're trying to work through all those concerns. Overall, the teachers are excited, I think, to get back into the classroom. They didn't like distance learning. I didn't like distance learning. You really miss that social interaction you get with your students when you're not in the same room with them, you know. Even if you have to stay 6 feet apart, that's much better than miles apart and, you know, screen to screen apart. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, overall, I think the teachers are eager to get back in the classrooms. There are a few concerns that we're trying to work out and get the details all figured out on, but I think, Lord willing, we'll get those all worked out.
Well, I just want to conclude by saying thank you, Principal Heinze, for all the work you're putting in behind the scenes on this. I know it's been a very full plate for you already, your first year as principal, and got all this other stuff going on that's out of the ordinary. So,
well, you know, the thing that I can really think about is that, you know, God doesn't give you anything more you can handle. So think about that often right now.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He trusts you to handle a lot, Brandon, obviously. So we appreciate that. And, you know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens
us. That's right.
And, you know, ultimately our goal here at Emmanuel is, as it has always been, and that's to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to these kids. And, you know, that's why we're striving to do this as best as we can. We appreciate the support of all the members out there and their continued prayers. And we ask you to continue to raise those prayers to heaven for us, because there's a lot of work that needs to go on here. And obviously these kids need to hear the gospel too.
Exactly. And that's a good point. And that's also something that I was interviewed by the paper, and I'm sure some of the members probably saw the quote in there. And I was actually impressed the quote made it in there, because, you know, I made reference to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in it, and that was kind of a nice thing that happened there.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the thing that is coming out of this, is that, you know, we're getting opportunities to maybe reach out to some people we wouldn't otherwise see, because they're interested in having their kids in school all day, every day.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're getting a little more community interest, which is a great opportunity to spread the gospel.
Absolutely. So any listeners out there, if you know anybody or anybody who's looking for an in-person option for school, please share our contact information, and we'd love to get whatever opportunity we can to reach out to our community and share the good news of Jesus with whoever we can. So, well, thank you very much, Principal Heinze. Wonderful to have you here today, and our continued prayers with you and the entire staff at Emmanuel, and pray everything goes smoothly this fall.
Thank you, and God bless you all out there.
I'd now like to dive back into the doctrine of the day. You know, we began today talking about how Jesus is the Word of God, speaking about this devotion from the book of Revelation, which speaks about how we saw Jesus coming in glory to judge the world. But we need to remember that Jesus is not just a human being who came and lived and died, but that Jesus is actually true God. And that's what part of this identity of Christ as the Word of God helps to teach us, is that he is indeed divine. That John not only wrote the Revelation, but he also wrote the Gospel of John. And he wrote this considerably after the other Gospels were written. And so John has a little bit of a few different points of emphasis than some of the other Gospel writers do. Because he wrote later than the other Gospel writers, there were many false teachings that were already beginning to spring up about Jesus and about who he was. And one of these false teachings is that Jesus wasn't actually true God, that he was just a human being who came and who lived on this earth for a time. And so John begins not by going to Jesus's birth, talking to the beginning of his humanity, but rather he goes back to creation and talks about how Jesus was divine. And so if you go to your Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, it begins by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." It can be kind of a confusing section to begin this gospel, but if we understand that Jesus is the Word, then it makes a ton of sense to us, doesn't it? After all, fill in the word Word with Jesus, and we can read it this way. "In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Jesus, and without Jesus nothing was made that was made." Once we understand it in that way, we see that indeed Jesus is divine as he claimed to be. He has existed from eternity. He did not have a beginning, and he will neither have an end. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. He is the Word of God made flesh. He is part of that triune God whose nature as three persons of one God we cannot truly understand. But it is vital and important to our understanding of the truths of God's Word that we confess that Jesus is true God as he claimed to be, because only true God can make the sacrifice to pay for your sins, for my sins, and for the sins of all people. And so it's with this in mind, as Jesus, as the Word of God, as true God, that I'd like to conclude this podcast by reading the words of hymn 763 from our worship supplement, which talks about the name of Jesus and how he is indeed the Word as he claimed to be. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. 'Tis the Father's pleasure we should call him Lord, who from the beginning was the mighty Word. At his voice creation sprang at once to sight, all the angel faces, all the hosts of light, cherubim in heaven, stars upon their way, all the heavenly orders in their great array. In your hearts enthrone him, there let him subdue all that is not holy, all that is not true. Crown him as your captain, and in temptation's hour, let his will enfold you in its light and power. Christians, this Lord Jesus shall return again in his Father's glory with his angel train, for all wreaths of empire meet upon his brow, and our hearts confess him, King of glory now. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Twin Steeples podcast, again, a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church. Twin Steeples comes out every Wednesday around noonish is what we shoot for. Pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ has warmed your heart and that you'll join us again. And always remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.